Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, where do you get your deep information from about life? Where do you learn about life? From books? From your higher mind? Maybe from the higher mind of others? What if it's the higher mind of the animal kingdom outside of humans? Well, there are people who do that regularly. And we have an author who's been on the show before. The title of her book is We Walk Beside You, because she talks to those who walk beside us. And she speaks with animals. Sandra Mendelson, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you. Good to see you again, Peter.
You know, I'm always excited to talk with you because the wisdom that you bring forth from these beings that communicate with you is really profound. And we're going to talk about aging in this show. What are these different species of animals offering us about how they deal with aging? And you've been receiving information from a lot of different species about aging and have kind of brought it down to about seven different understandings. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. But in the meantime, before we do that, I just want to just kind of check in with you just about the process of what, you know, what your life is like, because most people can't live the way you do. And people would say, well, it might drive me nuts to hear from all the squirrels outside my window and the birds flying by and whatever dogs are walking by, or if I go to a horse farm or something like that, is there a competition among all the horses to talk with you? And I understand that, you know, it's not, you're handling it very well. So is it that you're reaching out, or you have an intention of particular animals needing to reach you, or some reach you anyway, and then you ask them to identify themselves?
I am so glad you brought this up, because people think that if you're an animal communicator, you're walking through the world like Eddie Murphy in the Revision of Dr. Dolittle, and you can't shut it off. It's not like that at all. You might say it's a collaboration. I mean, the animals are so energetically, there's two things going, several things going. They're so energetically aware that the ones that I've been talking with, like some elephants I've been talking with in South Africa that I'm actually going to meet a year from now, they will tune into my energy and they're like, no, you're tired. We'll save it for another day. It's non-invasive. So it, you could say it is a collaboration, because energy is more important than accomplishment in the animal world. So when the energy is off, when you're really exhausted, not going to happen. From the flip side, you could say, well, I just can't hear when I'm really tired. You know, remember, we are energetic beings. Whether you're an animal communicator or not, you are being affected by many, many things going on. So it, you're not walking around as a pure channel. You're still, whether you think so or not, in 3D. Sometimes you go to 4D when you're chatting with the animals, and that's wonderful. So I don't have to tune them out. I have to tune in.
Well, let's talk about, for instance, these elephants in Africa. And who reached out to who?
This one is, I get a little teary because it's such a gift. I had pictures of, knowing the story, it's called Camp Jabulani, and it's named after an elephant named Jabulani who was, quote unquote, I got the real story, you know, abandoned by his herd, and they didn't think they could save him, and it was really touchy, and he became like the figurehead, and then this sanctuary, if you will, grew, and they created a resorty kind of thing, or a hotel or whatever, so people could interact with the elephants, but in a very ethical way now. So I had seen pictures of the herd there. I had seen his photo. I knew what to focus in on, as I would for an animal communication session. And I was beyond tickled that he would engage with me. And the signal I have that I know that I'm tuning in is, I cannot stop yawning. Yawn, 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 like insane. Like all of a sudden you have a yawning addiction. You just can't stop. And what that is releasing negative energy or constrictions and meeting the animals at their vibration. Turns out elephants only sleep 2 hours a night. And I said, why? I know you do energy work. Is it because of that? He said, our vibration's already so high, we don't need to repair and heal through sleep the way humans do. So I began firing away all the questions I had about elephant life. And there's plenty more, I'm sure. This could keep going on until I meet them. And this elephant was so happy to answer, because he also sees, look, I was meant to be with people. That's why my life worked out this way. And he's delicious. So, I mean, he even told me one day when one of the Jeeps had a broken axle and how long it takes to get help in the middle of goodness knows where, South Africa. So, I'm getting really powerful information about the work that elephants do on the planet. This is a longer comment. This could be an entire show. So I'm going to cut myself off. What they do on the planet, working with energy, how they move old ideology out. He had a great line. He said, we appear as we do, this dense, so that our work could go, you know, incognito and unimpeded. Because if we were discovered a few hundred years ago, we would have been burnt at the stake. I love him. And then I wanted to know if any of the others would talk, and he said, and this is the overriding principle in that I always keep trying to remind people of, all at different levels, just like humans. Some are really advanced and are going to meet you here, and as squirrels have said to me, others are just common. But I said, would any other animal in your herd want to talk to me? He said, one might, and I immediately heard a voice in my head say, it's an elephant whose name begins with T, toe, whatever. The other ones, he said, are just happy with whatever the demands are at the place. They're at the sanctuary that they don't want to know from anything else. Sound familiar? Just like people. And as it happened, the matriarch of the herd named Tokwe came through. Totally different. She's like, I have to keep peace and order here. I stay back with the elephants. That Jabulani is quite spirited, isn't he? the tone is so different, you know. She's Mother Earthy kind of easy, and he's just much more high energy. So I haven't released those channelings yet because I'm still gathering information. But, you know, the elephants bring, one of the main points I got from elephant consciousness about growing older is that they don't see growing older as aging. They see it as advancement, and you only reach your peak when you are elevated in age. That the softness in your eyes, the wisdom that is there, is the prize. And that only happens through much time. Physical form is irrelevant to the growth of your soul.
Well, two things I'm thinking about. One is that humans should be this way and think this way. But because we're programmed, many, many older people are programmed to become obsolete.
Right.
And they take that on. And they don't honor their growth. So I think that's one of the big setbacks in humanity now, is that the older people aren't as appreciated, and they take that on themselves, that they're not appreciable.
And then they end up with, then the body, the mind makes that decision, and then the body follows.
Right.
And the body turns into hardened glue, or it falls into disrepair.
Right.
A gorilla was very clear about that, that the animals never see themselves as too old, as non-valuable, as obsolete. They never isolate. When we're older, very often, if a spouse dies or whatever, isolation is something that humans do, and animals don't. They don't stop doing what they always did.
Right, but their community is in that mindset as well.
Right.
And for humans, so many of us live in communities that don't respect aging.
I know. Well, that's, you know, no one ever said this was easy. Right. I mean, think about this one thing, and women get this perhaps more than men. Imagine spending your entire life never once looking in a mirror, never watching your face change and the shape and the spots and the wrinkles and the nose get bigger. You know, never seeing that. It doesn't exist. So they are focused on their own impact, on their interactions, on how their thoughts and intentions and actions move through the web and affect others.
Right, not on their reflection.
Bingo. Bingo. Yeah. That one thing alone, if we burned every mirror, I can't even imagine. It's really, they have a lot of compassion for us because it is so difficult. Quote, because it's complicated and you have to live in your head and have your senses dumbed down.
Yeah.
That's what a skunk said, yeah.
But one thing I remind people a lot is that the eyes we look through are the same eyes that we looked through 40, 50, 60 years ago, depending on how old we are, that haven't changed. You know, when I look out through my body into the world, I'm seeing reality the same as I saw it. Maybe my mind is different about it, but my eyes are the same. And that, I think, is something we can all honor, that we haven't grown older in our vision.
Actually, the animals put it a little bit differently, that now there's more wisdom back in here. So maybe we look through the same eyes, but we now know what's important and what isn't.
Right, no, I understand that. I'm just saying it's still the same eye.
Absolutely.
And even if our vision isn't as clear, it's still the same being seen out from our body. And we should honor that. And enjoy it, because I look at myself at my, you know, senior age, and I say, oh, these eyes, I could just as well be 18 again, looking out at the world, because I'm that same person.
There you go.
It's the same eyes looking out than when I was 18. So I love that, and it makes me feel a lot younger. So let's talk about some of the other insights that other species have given you.
We have many. Okay. Now, these are in no order of importance, and I couldn't possibly get them all here, or you and I would be talking for 4 hours. But here are a few. And I'm going to start with this one because we touched on it already. Choose your beliefs on a daily basis. And your brain and your body will follow. Your illnesses, this is from the gorilla, that you associate with aging are illnesses of the mind. We cannot impress this upon you enough. Thoughts of self-limitation and being too old are toxic and crippling. We never think this way. Instead, focus on what each of you bring to the world and what beauty you can see within yourselves and others every day. Laziness and repetition are aging. Remember this when you choose the activities that fill your soul, that fill your time. Are they filling your soul? Because the more you give your soul the reins to direct your life, the more you're going to be renewed. So it means, in fact, that maybe the overlying message for all of these insights, there's much more going on inside now, much more selective attention, much more thought selection, much more awareness, much more listening. This should be the focus. Otherwise, we're just on autopilot and we're going to be promoting and living out all of the misprogramming that just gets old and old and older. So this is the time in our life to really choose where we go, what we do. Here's another one. I love this one. This is from two completely different species, from a cobra and a sheep. Dare to be yourself like never before. Speak your truth. Drop the veil. Taste the freedom of your own authenticity. Lay bare your face and your vulnerability and your needs. Stop pretending you don't have them, because you do, and we all do. Live from the inside out. You have nothing left to prove, as you thought you did when you were younger. Right. Send a big hello to strangers. Try something just out of curiosity. Who cares about the outcome? So, daring to examine how we've been functioning and holding ourselves back. And, you know, we're not even aware of it, right? Sharing that sunniness inside, doing something just because I've never done it before. Again, it requires a conscious action, right?
Yes.
And there's something kind of linked to that, because it's the sheep again. Got great stuff from the sheep, then found out from a goat that the sheep vent and complain a lot. I thought that was really funny that the goats are about action and the sheep tend to vent and complain. However, love, go back like you were with a little kid when you were a little kid. This is yummy, have some, right? Go back to the sweetness of giving and receiving, just like kids do. So if you see yourself, and you've heard this before, with compassion and softness and appreciation, you're going to glow. If you don't stop that self-criticism, and it can be a full-time job to catch yourself in the, you know, I'm being self-critical, you start to wither from that. And here's the line. Find a way to show your love to any being, whether it's a human or a non-human or a plant, every single day, because failure to let the love out causes heart trouble.
Who said that?
The sheep.
Uh-huh.
Failure to let the love out causes heart trouble. And I was like, wow. And you know, I think of all the people that are having heart attacks, and you wonder how had they shut down on in an unaware, unintentional way. You know, there was more love in there than what they let out.
But so, while you're saying all this, I'm just thinking how much we miss when we look at sheep and don't get that there's a consciousness that's very wise inside.
Again, you know, the animals that step forward when I put a question out, of course they're going to be higher vibrational. They are going to be more evolved souls because they stepped up to meet me and share these messages.
Right, not all the every other sheep have no idea.
They're wherever they are.
They're just going about their lives. But each species, including humans, have wise ones.
Exactly.
And also, not only just wise ones, but those who can work with, let's call it the higher mind or the infinite mind.
Right.
And tap in. So that's why a lot of these animals, when they talk to you, they know so much about the world that we live in details that we think they shouldn't even know about. But they're tapping into, let's call it the universal computer that holds all the information of everything.
Right. Or you could call it the field, like Lynn McTaggart calls it, or the web, or the web of life that the animals refer to it that way, that they can see it. All the animals can see it, but humans can't. We have to try to know it with our brain and just believe that we are all energetically connected, even if you and I can't see those threads.
Well, we're so dependent on our language and all the third dimensional tools that we are able to create. Whereas animals, they don't have resources the way we do, and yet they have very sophisticated communities that must be communicating at sophisticated levels that almost nobody understands.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had a really funny conversation with a gorilla, you know, because they're like, most of the time, they communicate mostly through the thought stream. Animals spend very little time vocalizing. They usually save that for emergencies and alerts and stuff like that. I said, well, what do you talk about through the thought stream? He goes, news we get from the web, you know, and he thought it was funny that we don't need computers. So the birds tell them, because the birds transmit, they're mercurial. They transmit information across the globe to the animals that other animals act upon. So they get information from the birds. They get it from this web where it's stored and there is no time, so they can get stuff about music from the 60s. Amazing library, right? And then, of course, they, you know, and they get it from the thought stream of the different people they encountered. You know, when I was in chatting with a squirrel, I'm like, how come you keep making references to music from, like, the 60s and 70s, you know, which I don't particularly love. So I was like, I didn't make that up. I said, don't you like popular music? He said, we don't hear it. Those ear things block us out. Did you ever think that your devices block us out? I thought that was pretty interesting.
I don't understand how, what ear things?
Earbuds.
Oh, the earbuds that we're using, they can't hear.
So. They can't tap into the whatever music in our minds, you know, because we do a lot of singing in our heads that the animals get a kick out of. So, yeah, they do. Oh, right. So back to the web. So then, you know, I started chatting with these elephants in South Africa. I said, you know, the gorilla told me he gets all this information. I said, do you get all your news from the web? And he kind of laughed because we're usually the ones making the news.
That's funny.
I was so humbled. Like, you know, well, based on what I'm learning about what elephants do, that's like heavy lifting. They really, and the horses too. So, wait, horses and the whales. Yeah.
But one thing that I was thinking of while you were talking about how they get their information, I was thinking, because I think a lot back in time at, with it, we had that tsunami in the Pacific, and the humans didn't know it was coming, but the animals all ran for cover. And a lot of us think, well, those animals, they're able to tune into nature in a way to know that danger is coming, and maybe a lot of them are. But we don't realize that the birds were informing them.
And they feel it. They're very in touch with what goes, they can feel changes and purging and cleansing through their paws and their hooves. The lions have been very vocal that they could, what do you say to me? A lion said we could write books about what we feel through our paws, the cycles of Mother Earth. So they, again, they get it from multiple ways. You know, we're stuck in this little mind. And they're, you know, they're hearing it from the birds. They're feeling it through their bodies. You know, they're getting it through the web. They got lots of sources of information. And that's why they are not as shocked as we are. When they encounter another, they're not here. They're tuning into quality of energy field and scent and body and facial movements, right? So they're gleaning lots and lots of information while we humans are looking up in our brain for an answer.
Right, wow.
Yeah. As they say, we're looking in the wrong place.
I'm so glad that we have you to inform us about, you know, this great quality of life that animals have that most people have no idea about it, and we can infer when we see the sophistication of the structures of their habitats, or the way the birds fly in formations, how animals know to go, you know, what routes to go south on, and what time of year, and there's so many, you know, different understandings they have. Mm-hmm. And even when animals are born, they pop out and they're already walking around.
Right.
That's pretty precocious.
Sea creatures, you know, if they live a year, they learn like everything in like the first day, and they learn by example. I forgot who told me this, which species, forgive me, but I was just fascinated. It could have been a jellyfish, or just, you know, they learn everything like within the first couple of days, you know, just the way an animal gets out of the womb and is like a giraffe and is already walking and running in no time. So, yeah. They learn much faster than we do, especially because their timelines are shorter, these species, not, you know, elephants right, live about right. 70 years.
They all have to get going right away.
And they're all really aware about the learning of lessons. Doesn't always mean it's easy, and not every soul just accepts it like, oh yeah, I mean, I had an anaconda that's really struggling being 550 pounds when he has a memory of being a butterfly. And everybody's is afraid of him, and he's more just miserable. Like, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, talk about sending pink energy. You know, like, what are you telling anaconda? He's miserable in this huge form. Yeah, it's funny. He thought being a vegetarian was like, boy, that sounds really boring. You know, why would you do that?
So, we're getting near the end of the show. And your book is out there. It's been out for a while, and I'm glad that you have such a great response that you're thinking of doing more. And still, I mean, the animals aren't going to stop talking with you anyway.
Hey, Peter, if you come up with any great questions, throw it my way. Because, yeah. You know, there are so many nuances that there's no way I'll get it all. You know, why they choose which formation. Everything is energetic. There are so many ways they have of communicating amongst each other themselves. So I said, well, how come I can't understand when you're doing chirps and like, we have to angle our mind to you. We save the thought stream for you, but we do, you know, body movements and scent and sounds with each other. So they, Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of information in their world that I'm just touching on.
So we'll talk again, I'm sure, because it's so much fun to talk with you. And it's so revelatory, too. So your book is We Walk Beside You. Is there a website?
Two. There is a book website, which is just wewalkbesideyou.net, just for people that want to find out what the book is about. And if you want to see, to either find out about my work, to read, I have a ton of channelings at my blog that haven't even been incorporated in a book and have come out since the book. You just go to smendelson.com. There are videos, there are interviews, there are, you know, some people like to just listen to an audio. So that's really info central.
Okay, smendelson.com and M-E-N-D-E-L-S-O-N, Sandra Mendelson. Thank you so much for being at Energy Steward. So great to talk with you.
Likewise. Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Steward, PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.